Thank you. We are still in chapter 6 of our series on correcting Scofield, Scofield's booklet, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, which we had made available to you guys, just a short little booklet published over 100 years ago, and it details 10 important distinctions or divisions in the Bible, and the subjects are worthy of consideration and teaching, so we're teaching the subject from the Scripture as Scofield raised them. And as we go along, we're correcting some of the mistakes or false understanding that Scofield had, again, 100 years ago. Scofield's not God, he's not the Pope, and we're not followers of Scofield, and yet we are followers of God's Word, rightly divided, and so we need to correct any mistakes that went on before, and then recognize the consistencies and the things that have been taught rightly before, and so we appreciate that. And his chapter, titled Law and Grace, is the longest chapter in his booklet, and that is necessary, because law and grace and the distinction thereof and the relation between the two is an important subject in Christianity and the church, to know why most of the Bible speaks about a people under the law, and yet here comes the Apostle Paul speaking about not being under the law. So how in the world does that change affect you, and what's your relation to the law? And so we had a lesson before the seminar comparing law and grace. Then last week we dealt with rightly dividing the law, and how most people try to divide the law in between ceremonial and moral and civil, and how that's not really the best way to do it, because that's still law. Either one of those is law. You're not under the law at all. And so we dealt with that last week, and this week I want to talk about failing law school, failing to understand your relation to the law. And so part of this chapter Scofield wrote, he has a title called Three Errors Concerning Law and Grace. And so there, he's talking about the issue in the church over the last 2,000 years that has failed to recognize our proper relationship to the law. And I totally agree there's been a problem in the church. And so we're dealing today with the failures in the church to learn the lessons of the law and to learn what it is to live under grace. Okay, so he says there are three errors that have troubled the church concerning the right relation of the law to grace. I would agree to that, and much more actually than three, due to a failure to learn the lessons of the law. And so even Scofield himself, in the booklet that he writes, because he fails to rightly divide the new covenant from the new creature and Paul from Peter and all that, the mystery and prophecy, rightly understood, he allegorizes some of the law. In his mind, the law was God's judgment or punishment or things that was a ministry of condemnation and death, as Paul says. And to him, God's grace was anything about God's goodness. And so, of course, you can find God's goodness throughout the Scripture. And so when he found passages in the Psalms, like Psalm 1-2, where David writes, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Or in Psalm 119:97, where David writes, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Scofield saw that and said, that can't be like the ministration of death if they're loving it. And so he allegorized the law, and he says, this must be speaking of Christ and his grace as revealed through Christ. Well, that's not in those verses, and David clearly said he loves the law. And so even Scofield had some room for correction, I think, in his understanding of why David could praise and rejoice in the law that Paul would later call a ministration of death and condemnation, right? And the answer to that is because we now understand something through the revelation of Scripture, through the further revelation after David, that teaches us not only about the law, but by God's abundant grace today, that David did not know. And the fact that he didn't know it does not mean that David lived a life of misery. Okay, he did have revelation from God, and he rejoiced in what God gave him because it was to his benefit. Okay, so we'll deal with some of that today. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 through 25. This will be our key verse for today's lesson and why I titled it Failing Law School. Galatians 3, 23. Galatians, of course, have had an issue with their relation to the law, which is the same thing Scofield's dealing with. The Galatians, who were taught the gospel, the grace of God by Paul, find themselves trying to keep the law in order to obtain some sort of blessing or standing with God. And Paul writes this epistle rebuking them and correcting them and saying, why do you think the law can do that for you? And he's scared of them, lest they have not learned what the law taught and lest they've not really trusted God's grace. This is really the theme of Galatians. And so in Galatians 3:23 is explaining the place of the law. And he says, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Notice the time words here. Before faith came, we were shut up under the law. Then after faith, There was a faith revealed. Verse 24 says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Now, Paul is alone in saying this about the law and the scripture because of where he is in relation to the law. You and I, who are in the same dispensation Paul's living in, the dispensation of the grace of God and under God's operation of grace, need to understand, as Paul did, that the law was a schoolmaster, and therefore we need to understand what the law schooled us in. Like, what did it teach? What was the lessons that it learned? He says that he might bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And so this is what we're going to cover today. What did the law teach? And so we can see, if people don't learn this lesson, they have failed the lessons of it. What does the law teach? We covered last week the purpose of the law. Paul says the law is good if used lawfully in 1 Timothy 1. Romans 7, it says it's holy, just, and good. In Romans 3:20, he says, "By the law is the knowledge of sin." Amen. You've heard that verse taught before. And so we can understand that one of the purposes of the law, as Paul teaches it, is for you to know your own sin. Paul says in Romans 7, he would not know what covetous was unless the law said, "Thou shalt not covet." Right? And so he understands those things from the law. Galatians 3:24 says the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Apparently, what the law teaches can bring people to Christ. And that's very important. If we're trying to evangelize and we're trying to figure out how people can trust the gospel and trust Jesus Christ and be saved, we need to know how in the world can they learn that they need him. Amen. And the law is a schoolmaster, Paul teaches us, to bring us into Christ. And so I want to go through the law here from the perspective of maybe experience most of you have had, unless you're homeschoolers, which you will not have had the experience at all, which is to go through the gradations of the school system, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, as you graduate school. And all that speaks to is the lessons you learn until you graduate. And that's what we're going to talk about today regarding the law. Okay. The Bible teaches the law as a schoolmaster. So we'll draw a law up here. And the law, as we covered the last couple lessons, gives a blessing. But the law can also, if you fail to keep it, bring death. Okay? Upon sinners. And so here you are, before you were saved, and you're a sinner under the law. You're living in sin, you're fine with it, right? See, the evil nature of who you are, being happy about it. Okay, just making sure that's clear. And this is the freshman under the law. You first get introduced to the law. Why? Because you're living in sin and don't know it. So this is beginning law school. You need to go to law school if you're living in sin and don't know it. Amen. The law is made for an unrighteous man who doesn't know that they're unrighteous. The law brings, after all, the knowledge of sin. So what's the lesson freshman year? The knowledge of sin. Okay, the lesson is you need to learn the law and do it. Amen. You are not good. You need to do good. Right? That's the first year lesson of the law, freshman year. If you haven't learned the lesson that you need to do good, go back to freshman year law school, according to the scripture. Okay, sin is bad. Good is good. And God tells what's good in the law. And therefore, you know what's bad because you break it. Okay, that's freshman year. Now, what about sophomore year? What do you graduate as sophomore year? Well, sophomore, in case you didn't know, that language, sophomore, some of you realize the Latin and all that, means wise fool. The soft part of sophomore is wisdom or wise, and the more is where we get the word moron, right? And so wise fool is what sophomore means. And you get this even if you've been to public school. Sophomores are exactly that. They're not new. They're freshmen. They've been there. But they're still stupid enough not to be seniors, right? And so all the juniors and seniors realize this. That's what a sophomore is. These people know the law. Okay, here they are, right? And they're happy about it. They have learned that they need to do good and that they're a sinner. They've learned what the law is. Thou shalt not and thou shalt. And they proudly, gladly, boastfully do it to get this blessing. Because the law says you do it and you get blessed, right? That's sophomore. I'm going to do the law to get blessed. Is that good? Sure. That's good. There's something they haven't learned yet, though, haven't they? Amen. You probably know by grace what they haven't learned, but that's a good thing. They're heading in the right direction. They're no longer living in sin, not knowing what they're doing is wrong. Now they know what's wrong and know what's right, and they're trying to do what's right to get the blessing God promised. And they're living above everyone else, right? I'm not a sinner like you guys. They say, we can keep the law. They think they can actually keep it and get blessed because that's what the law says. Do it and live. Yeah. I go, okay. So they have knowledge and don't yet know what that means. Then you go to third year lesson of the law. And you think you're going to get a blessing, but there's a turn that happens. There's a turn. And here makes you frustrated because you thought you could do the law and suddenly you realize something crops up, which is your sin, which is strange because down here you were living in sin and you didn't care. You're carefree living in sin, and the law said you need to learn to do good. Did that, and you thought, well, I'm on the right track. But then you learn, after some time trying to be on the right track, that it's not easy to be on the right track. And the law brings condemnation. When sin appears, frustration keeps appearing, and it keeps you from doing the law. And you learn the lesson, junior year of the law school, that the law condemns. The law condemns. I thought the law was to promise a blessing to do good. Yeah, both. It's both, right? You do right, you get good. You do wrong, you're condemned. And if you can't do right, condemnation. Well, I'm a junior. I've been in law school for a while. I've been keeping the law. And just one little mistake or two or three or 50, you know. You haven't kept it. And so the law tells you that you're still wrong, even in your religious activity and desire to do good. That's junior year level that you have to learn. And so you might learn under the law that, you know what that means? I need a sacrifice. So I've sinned, but the law allows for this. The law doesn't allow sin, but it allows that, knows that you're going to sin. When you do, you can pay it off. You can atone. You can make a sacrifice for it. But what's this mean? There's a whole nother book of the law you have to learn now. The law of sacrifices. So the law becomes more complicated. It's not simply do this and live. Now it's do this and live. And if you don't, do these other things so that you might still live. Oh, okay, I need to sacrifice. I need to confess. I need to kneel. I need to attend synagogue and temple. Right, you start to learn, however, that the more laws there are for you to keep, even sacrificial laws, the less you can actually keep them all. Yes. And you start to learn that what you thought was your righteousness, which was doing the things that the law said that were good, and the things you're offering up now become as filthy rags.
Amen.
Even when you do good, you're still one that has to offer sacrifices because you do bad too.
Yeah.
Right, so you can't hide that within yourself. You might hide it with other people because you have the appearance of religious goodness. But inside, you know your pride, and you know your greed, and you know your lack of charity towards others and everything else. And therefore, you learn this lesson that your righteousness becomes an illusion. You can try to cover it up by the doing good, but you really can't achieve what the law desires for you, which is perfection, which is righteousness, which is goodness and blessing. You can't achieve it. You're working at it, but you can't. And so you're living an eternal life of condemnation, if not an outward life. This is, by the way, normal life under the law. Once you learn the law to do it, you try to do it, and you learn you can't. And so what do you do from here? Well, you go back and learn some more laws. And then you get frustrated because you can't keep them all, and you go back, and this is the normal life right here under the law. This is law life, and it leads to death. Christians who don't understand their relationship to the law get stuck right there. Many non-Christians, religious people, get stuck right there. It's not that they want to teach sin. Religions across the world aren't teaching you to sin. They're teaching you to do good. But then they fail, and they have a system of reconciliation or atonement. They go back and forth, and they keep doing this. And that's what the Bible describes as well. Well, you're stuck in junior year, but juniors don't graduate, right? You got more to learn is the idea. And that's where fourth year senior comes in. If you can learn the lesson of the law, then here are you. You're no longer frustrated that you sin. Now you just accept the fact that I am a sinner. And I can't do anything to get over that mountain, to get the blessing. That's where you're at. You're back recognizing you're a sinner. There's nothing you can do about it. You want to do something about it, but you can't. You see, what's between that guy and this guy? Boy, don't you see the little frown there? Yeah. This guy's evil and happy about it. This guy's evil and unhappy about it.
Yeah.
That's called a change of mind. That's repentance. Thank God for the law to get the guy from here to there. This guy, who's a religious guy, can't get there. He's trying to do and trying to do. You have to get here.
Amen.
Realize that you can't do. You can't perform. Right? That's the lesson you learn senior year. The sacrifices you've been trying to offer, you offer them continually because they're insufficient to change you.
Yes.
They can't do anything for you. Just to give you a glimmer of hope to try again, then you fail again. So you have no hope. You realize, senior year, hopefully, that you need a Savior. If you don't get to that point, that you need something else, you can't sacrifice to save yourself, you can't do to save yourself, I need a Savior.
Amen.
If you don't realize that, you can't graduate law school. You understand? So you see how expansive this is, and you can see perhaps where many people fail law school, because they never get to this point. They're either here thinking that sin's okay, or over here think that they're doing it, or here thinking that they can still redeem themselves by sacrificial systems and works. You got to see your need for a Savior. And by the way, this is all under the law, folks. This is life under the law. We haven't talked about grace yet. This is what the law can teach you. That's good stuff. There are still sinners, but now they're repentant sinners. They need God's mercy and help. This guy here needs to cry out to the God who gave the law and say, God, I know your law, that it's good and it gives a blessing. If I don't, I'm dead, and I know that I'm heading to death. I need you to help me some other way because that law is insufficient. That's good it is. This is what the sinner can do under the law. And now you're prepared to graduate. When you learn sin, when you learn righteousness, all right, when you learn sacrifice and your failure to be righteous, and you learn your need for God's help and God's grace, that's when you're ready to graduate, all right? And at that point, you can understand. I said you're ready to graduate because you haven't yet, but you're ready. Okay, this is when you take your senior pictures and you're ready to, you're planning for the, you know, the end of the year and all that. Look at Luke 18. This is where you put Luke 18, folks. You're able to understand Luke 18 now. This is the so-called sinner's prayer, which can't save a soul today because it's not the gospel of the grace of God. Luke 18, verse 9. Neither the sinner or the Pharisee or the disciples who heard Jesus teach this understood the cross of Christ or the gospel of the grace of God, which hadn't yet been revealed. But look at the lesson being taught here in Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Jesus says, he spake of this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. If you trust in yourselves, what does that mean? Well, you're not this guy. This guy's living in sin and doesn't care. It's this guy who thinks he's doing good and can keep it. Sophomore, wise fool, the moron under the law, right? That's what this is. Luke 18, verse 9. Jesus speaks to these people and says they think they were righteous and they despise other people. They're looking down at these sinners, which includes this guy and saying, they're sinners, but not me. I'm righteous. Verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray. That was a requirement under the law. Okay? The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as that publican over there. Here's the publican right here. Here's the Pharisee. Right? Who's higher or thinks that they're higher? This guy is. As we'll see, he's further along in understanding what the law taught.
Amen.
All right? This guy says, I thank God I'm not like those sinners down there. He says, verse 12, I fast twice a week, something the law required. I give tithes of all that I possess, something the law requires. He's doing good, and he's hoping for that blessing. And the publican, he says, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast. Why is he not lifting his eyes into heaven? Because he knows the law is condemnation. He learned this lesson right here. The more I look at that law, the more it condemns me. He'll lift his eyes up to heaven, and he says, in verse 13, he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, why does he say that? The law was given to him. He knows what to do. He knows to go to the temple and pray. He knows to offer sacrifices. He knows to tithe of all that he possesses. He knows not to extort or commit adultery. He knows that, doesn't he? He does. He knows that he can't do it.
Amen.
And so he says, be merciful to me. He's over here. That guy's ready to graduate.
Yeah.
The first guy is not. He's learned something, but not enough to graduate. Do you see how that works there? And that's why in verse 14, Jesus says, I tell you, this man, the publican, who prayed for God's mercy because he was a sinner, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Do you see the humble and exaltation here? The law can lift you up, but if you learn its lesson, it will knock you down. That's the humbling, right? And that's where that guy was at. Prepared to understand it. You see what's absent from this sinner's prayer here, God be merciful to a sinner? Is any preaching of the cross? Is any preaching of the resurrection? Is any preaching of what God has done? He's praying for mercy and praying for help, but what's lacking is the help of God. Now, Jesus recognized that God will give mercy to those that ask, and so he says, he's ready, he's right there. Jesus said that multiple times to people who had that same mind and attitude when they requested God's mercy and help. They said, you're close to the kingdom, you're right there. Remember that? But many of us fail to graduate. Many people fail to graduate. And failing to learn the lesson of the law means you will not graduate and live by grace and faith. That's what we're trying to do here. Learn how to walk by God's grace and walk in faith. And if you don't learn the lesson of the law, you cannot do that. Some people learn about grace, they think, but they fail to learn this lesson. And then they are struggling with how to walk and live by grace because they didn't learn the lesson of the law. They're stuck with this guy back here wanting some rules so he can be good. Or stuck with this guy thinking that if they just keep trying to do good, then they'll eventually get there. They're not here in this guy. By the way, that's not joy, is it? Like, this guy's sad, but he knows that he can't keep it. He's repentant, but he's got no real hope. That's the difference between you and me, however. We have a gospel that gives salvation and righteousness and peace and joy. But it's hard not to reveal that so early in the lesson here. Many people fail to graduate law school. One way they fail to graduate is they don't see the need for righteousness and good works. That's this guy right here. They're in freshman year law school, and they keep going back to freshman year. They think sin is acceptable. It's okay to sin. God's okay with sin. He's not okay with sin. Have you read the law? Like, he hates it. Yeah, I don't know the law. But did you learn the lesson of the law? What do you mean? The lesson of the law, the first lesson freshman year was sin is bad. Right? It's not good. It's always bad. Sin is never good. That's what the law teaches. Do good is what the law taught freshman year. This is where you might put some Corinthians who heard God's grace, boasted in God's grace, and walked according to their sinful flesh, thinking that, well, it's grace. I can do whatever I want. Really? You think sin is okay with God now? You think everything you're doing in corruption and sin is edifying to the believer and expedient? You think sin is acceptable? It's not acceptable. That's why you needed God's grace, if you don't remember. This guy needs grace. This guy thinks sin's okay. There's a difference in that thinking. The word antinomian means against the law. Be very careful of trying to preach grace in this way, that we are against the law. Paul says the law is a ministration of death because of what it does. It condemns. Right? It's a ministry of condemnation because you can't be good. It's your fault, not the law. But Paul is not against the law. He uses it quite often to teach these lessons when people are ignorant of it. And he actually uses the law in 1st and 2nd Corinthians to teach the Corinthians that sin is bad. It's like Sunday school lesson, right? You Corinthians, you received grace, but do you know what the law said? God hates sin. Amen. Why are you doing it? Another way people fail to learn the lesson of the law is they get stuck in sophomore year, right? They don't see the need for a sacrifice. They're self-righteous. They are law keepers. And if you're doing that, you think your good works and you are better than someone else, self-righteous, then you have failed to learn the lesson of second year law school, which was you can't reach that righteousness on your own. You might see a failure in law school if you see that people try to produce their own righteousness. You won't see the failure of the law to produce righteousness. The law cannot, good works, any rule you set up on yourself to improve your own behavior, cannot produce in you the perfect righteousness that is required. You'll never attain it. This is the Galatians issue. The Galatians, the book of Galatians I mentioned earlier, are trying to improve their spiritual standing and walk by saying, well, I got the grace part. I think now I'll go back and walk by the law. So they've been here. I need God's grace. They received it. And they said, you know what? I think I'll go back over here. What are you doing? Did you not learn these lessons? You can't do it. You didn't receive grace by the law. That's what Paul says to them. So why do you think the law is going to improve you? And so he questions whether they actually graduated or not. He questions whether they actually knew it. You also see a failure in learning the lesson of the law if you do not see the need for Jesus Christ except as a dogma. Every Christian self-proclaimed in the world knows the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of them. Like, they don't call themselves a Christian unless they've heard of Jesus. Right? Unless they say they love Jesus or want to follow Jesus or respect Jesus or something. Or say, I have to believe in Jesus or something. They'll say that. But if all he is a dogma to you, another belief that you put on the list of things that you believe, or another law to follow. I'm looking at Jesus followers right now, you know. I'm just a Jesus follower. Really? You kind of sound like someone who hasn't learned a lesson of the law. I'm just following Jesus. Yep, you're stuck in a law. What are you talking about? That is not the usefulness of Jesus to you. Okay, Jesus did something for you to deliver you from this, deliver you from your sin, to deliver you from the death and curse of the law, and to give you blessing without the law. That's what Christ did. He's not an example for you to follow so that you can finally keep the law rightly. No. Jesus actually came in his earthly ministry doing the law and teaching the law. And so he did correct people's misunderstanding of the law. But you know what that did? Condemned more people. He says, you say you keep it, but you don't. So he was dealing with these people. You say you keep it. Jesus says, no, you don't. He was trying to create this, to learn this. That's what he was doing. And what was he doing then in that ministry? Teaching the law. He wasn't teaching grace. Not yet, he wasn't. Jesus' follower, Matthew, Luke, and John, does not mean you graduated the law. You're still under the law. If you study the red letters as your principal rule of living, you are studying the law. You are living under it. You're not living under grace. Jesus' whole life was lived under the law. He was made of a woman born under the law. Matthew 23, he taught people to do what Moses said. Even after he died and rose from the dead, Peter and the disciples kept the law. He would not eat unclean food. They were in the temple in Jerusalem. They went there to pray, just like Luke 18. This is called a failure to graduate law school. Failing out of law school. They're not learning a lesson. And lastly, if you fail to learn a lesson of the law, you will live under constant condemnation. This could be true for even those who do know the gospel of the grace of God today, and yet they constantly are condemning themselves because they do not know the grace of God that delivers them from the condemnation, because they're trying to put themselves back under a system of rule and law. So law school failures lead to these common errors. You'll see, hear these things in churches. Either one, the antinomian idea that the law is no good. The law is no good, right? So we're grace people. We're not law people. The law is bad. It's no good. Well, of course, Paul corrects them when he says the law is just, holy, and good.
Amen.
Right? You also hear people say, well, the law is required to do good. So we're saved by Jesus and the cross and grace, but the law is required to do good. Nope. You don't need the law in order to know that good is good and bad is bad. Now, the law teaches it, and it's important. It's a useful tool for teaching that. But you don't need the law to do good. And thirdly, you'll hear this idea. Well, God gives us grace, and people who have faith through the scripture, God gives us grace to help us keep the law. So we can't keep the law by ourselves, but God's going to help us, grace, keep the law. This is also an error. Because the point of what God's trying to teach you is not you need to keep that law. He's trying to show you the need for God.
Amen.
The need for him and his mercy. For you to have humble faith and subjection to him. If he just helps you do the law, then you're both rising to the standard, right? He wants you to understand that you are not God. He is, and he's gracious, and he wants to give. But if you're in a law system, you are earning, folks. You're climbing on your own. You say, with help from God, yes, but you're also contributing. If you stand with one foot on the boat and one foot on the dock, what are you standing on? Both, right? And not Christ alone. And so this is where we come to Scofield, because Scofield in his chapter, as is consistent through the other errors he has in his book here, he has a section called The Rule for Believers Today. And in that section, he quotes 1 John chapter 3. Look at 1 John 3. Now, again, to be fair, Scofield has a lot of good things to say about law and grace. He has a lot of good things to say about you not being under the law and how the grace principle motivation is different than the law motivation, which we'll deal with in a moment. But because he fails to rightly divide consistently prophecy and mystery, he blends these Hebrew epistles, these under the new covenant law, in with the way you live, thus putting you back under it. 1 John 3, look what he quotes here. This he says, suggests, is the grace rule of living, thinking that 1 John is teaching the gospel, the grace of God, which it's not. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. That's true. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Yeah, you ought to, right? What 1 John 3 is doing, however, is teaching an obedience to the law that God will help them keep. That's that third error that I was talked about. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because, that may be a good question to ask. How do you know you've passed from death to life? How do you know that you're a sinner and sinners deserve death, the wage of sin is death, that you've passed unto blessing and life? How do you know that? Is it by your doing of things? Or is it based on what Christ did?
Amen.
We know the gospel of grace is what Christ did. But look at 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. What? Is that how you know that you're saved in eternal life? Because you love the brethren? Now that, of course, is the law teaching, love God and love your neighbor. And based on how you love God and love your neighbor, the law says do that and be blessed. But what's the law teaching? You can't do that all the time. You can't. You'll try. You do it sometimes. You can't do it all the time. There you are in your circle, condemnation and trial, right? And 1 John is still here. 1 John is saying, we trust Christ, we love Christ, Christ showed us an example of love, and therefore we should love our brethren. If we don't love our brethren, 1 John says, then we don't love God. If we don't show the love, we don't love God. And if we don't love God, then we don't get life. Well, loving God to get life is what the law taught. That's not the teaching of the gospel, the grace of God. 1 John 3, verse 15, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. Jesus taught the same thing, right? It's not just murder, it's hating your brother without a cause. Being angry without a cause. And he says, he that hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now, it's been asked of me, can adulterers go to heaven? Can someone who's been, committed felonies go to heaven? Like, it's been asked of me this. The answer, of course, is yes. Not because God wants sin in heaven, but because he can save sinners.
Amen.
All sinners. His grace abounds over all sin, Romans chapter 5 says. But in 1 John 3, look what it says here. To an epistle, an apostle, to whom God's dispensation of grace was not given, and who is not writing to the church, the body of Christ, operating under the dispensation of the grace of God, he writes to Israel under the new covenant law that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. That's the context. So we have to lay down our lives for the brethren. Look at verse 22. 1 John 3:22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's how God responds to these people, based on their obedience to his commands. It's not a gracious gift. It's their response to his commands. Now, again, to be fair, the new covenant operation of 1 John, as we talked about in our seminar, will be with the aid of the Holy Ghost to help them do them.
Amen.
Because obviously they can't keep them on their own. And yet, they still got to keep them. So if it's teaching, you have to attain here to get. And God's going to provide his Holy Ghost to get them there, you're still under the law. You're just now doing it by the aid of the Holy Ghost. 1 John 3:23, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So it's not just the belief on his name, but also the love of one another. He that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And so, you have the instruction there. Hebrews 10, verse 16 says about the new covenant, he'll write the law in their hearts. And Scofield quotes that as an example of grace living. What Scofield wants to do when he thinks he sees the church in Hebrews or in Psalms chapter 119 is he allegorizes the law to make it something else.
That's it.
The law in their hearts, oh, that's just grace. Well, I thought he was pretty adamant of saying rightly that law and grace are separate until he thinks the verse is for him. And then suddenly law is grace. Oh, there's a different thing there. Well, let's get back to our lesson about failing law school. What does it mean to graduate law school? We know what the law, this is law school right here. This is what it's teaching, and it ends with this. And you see, that's not a good place to end. Like, you're asking God for mercy and grace, but this guy has no deliverance. He's heading towards death. He's pleading to God for mercy. He's throwing down himself at the mercy of the court. How do you graduate law school? In the Bible. Well, you do that by the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 24. God revealed through the apostle of grace, the apostle Paul, the gospel of salvation for today, which is not according to the law, not under the law, right? Romans 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
You know what that verse to be true requires? That's not this person, folks. For that to be true, for you to understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you have to have been there, learned that, tried that, failed, and this is where you're at. That's what that verse means. You can't give it to that guy. He hasn't learned the law yet. He hasn't learned his sin, but this guy has. That's why Romans 1 and 2 is all talking about the lessons of the law. Romans 2 is all about the law taking you from here to here. This is Romans 1. The guy who is wise in his own conceits and declaring himself wise, he becomes a fool. Why? Because he thinks that sin is not sin. He lists 25 ways that sin is sin in Romans chapter 1, teaching them that you're not good. Romans 2, God gave the law and said the people were given the law by God to do it, and they tried to do it, and they were doing it, but then they failed to do it. And everyone fails to do it, and they kept doing it. So what's the difference between this guy and this guy? They're both sinners, is what Paul says. And then he comes to Romans 3 and says, we've concluded all are under sin. We all should do good, but there's none righteous, no, not one. All have come short of the glory of God. And that's true if you've learned the lesson of the law for you. Verse 24 is the gospel, folks. 23 is not the gospel. That's bad news. 24 is the gospel. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Free grace redeeming you. Back up to verse 20. Romans 3, 20. Remember we declared earlier, by the law is the knowledge of sin at the end of that verse. Verse 21. But now, Paul says, the righteousness of God. Oh, you mean this law right here, the righteousness of God. Without the law. Do you see the verse? The gospel is the righteousness of God, which was declared by the law, but now without the law. How in the world can I get God's righteousness and therefore his blessing without the law? Without this due system? Without me having to keep it? How is that possible? He says in verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Jesus Christ enters in and does something here. Amen. So what we have here is the cross of Christ. And folks, do not get this wrong. The cross of Christ is not found up here to those people who are doing it right. The cross of Christ is found down here where death is.
Amen.
Sinners are down here. You can only get the benefits of the cross if you've learned this lesson. If you think the cross is only for the holy people, let's draw a fancy cross up here. I don't know how you'd... That's a terrible fancy cross on the pole. And you think, well, it's the religious people that do all the good stuff. They get the cross. It's the Pope. He carries it around. You got it wrong. Christ, God in the flesh, came down to a world of sinners. He died the death of sinners so that sinners could be saved. Amen. That's the gospel of the grace of God.
Yeah.
And he died the death. And so in order to receive God's blessing, let's see it here. He died, and what did he do? He rose from the dead.
Amen.
He rose from the dead to be with glory. And then he promises, according to the gospel of the grace of God, he says, I died for sins, and I resurrected from death unto eternal life, and I'm giving, and now he gives to all those that would believe that grace. That's what grace is a gift. You trust me, he says, you realize you're a sinner, I died for your sins, I accomplished the power of eternal life. If you're in me, if you trust that, you can get the righteousness without the law. That's the answer, folks. That's how you get from this. Shall we do this? This guy's up here in grace. Not by his own work, but by the work of Christ. Okay? This is graduation. When you're prepared to graduate, graduation is saying, you know what? The law can't save me. I can't get it by that.
Amen.
And you hear the gospel of grace. Say, that's how I'm going to get it. I'm going to trust Jesus Christ's work. Now you've graduated. You don't need the law anymore. If you're trusting Christ's work on the cross. Look at Galatians 3, or Romans chapter 3, verse 25. We're justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation, a sacrifice, an atonement, through faith in his blood. It's not faith in the law. It's not faith in yourself. It's faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness. It's not your own. It's not your performance. For the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, it was not declared before under the law. Paul says to declare at this time, his righteousness. How do you know that you're a Christian? How do you know that you're saved? Because of the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
Because of his sinlessness and his death for my sins and his resurrection from the dead, he is the Lord God Almighty, and he offers grace freely because of what he did. He gives his work to you freely, if you believe it. His righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier. Now, how does that make sense? That he's just. I mean, these sinners don't deserve that. And that's, again, what grace is, giving something you don't deserve. But how is God just to save these sinners? I mean, you should do good. Doing good is good. Doing bad is bad. Doing bad, you should get punished for it. Doing good, you get rewarded for it. Well, nobody could do good.
Amen.
How is God just, however? Because someone did die for your sins. Either it's going to be you, or you're going to receive Christ and what he did on the cross and trust his death. Someone has to die. He's just and the justifier, so when you trust his death, his perfect death can justify you. Amen. Look at Romans 4, verse 20, 24. Paul takes a whole chapter to explain this and says that it's not by your works that you're justified. It's to him that worketh not that gets justified. And verse 24 says, for us it is written, it shall be imputed if we believe on him, Romans 4:24, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. Justification means to be declared righteous. This, by the way, up here is justification. This line. You're trying to do good under the law so that you can be just before God and you can never reach it. But you get justification through Christ. Amen. You get declared righteous in Christ because it's not your own. When you believe he died for your offenses and rose from the dead. So Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's what you were trying to attain under the law, but you couldn't do it. Paul's now declaring you have peace with God through faith and through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the graduation ceremony. That's, you guys no longer have to attend another class. You're free. That's what that is. That's liberty from the law. That's why Galatians 3:24 says the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. You can't be justified in Christ's finished work under the law. You can be justified by his finished work through faith in the gospel of the grace of God. Galatians 3:25, the verse right after the schoolmaster verse. Look what it says here. And folks, this is more glorious than Romans 6:14. Romans 6:14, if you don't know, says you're not under the law, you're under grace. Okay? And people wave that around like a banner. And you say, why is this one better than that one? Because Romans 6 is talking about how you should serve righteousness and not sin and the rest. But Galatians 3 is talking about your relation to the law. It says in verse 25, after that faith has come, after you're justified by faith, after you've learned the lesson of the law and graduated by the gospel into the grace of God and righteousness forever and life forever, he says, after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Amen. You don't need your first grade teacher once you graduated first grade. Yes? Once you've learned how to tie your shoes, do you have to go back to school? Well, you ought not have to. If you do, something's wrong, like amnesia or something. You've forgotten what you've learned. The schoolmaster is the law, folks. What is the believer's relation to the law today? You're not under it. You have graduated it.
Amen.
Now, when people hear that, they hear all sorts of bad things when they hear that you're not under the law and that you've graduated from law school, that type of idea. But don't get me wrong here, okay? Saying you're not under the law does not mean you forget what the law taught. Schofield quotes John Bunyan when he says that there is no fault in the righteousness of Christ. He says, the believer is now, by faith in the Lord Jesus, shrouded under so perfect and blessed a righteousness, that's Christ's righteousness, that the thundering of the law requiring your righteousness cannot find a fault in it. There is no fault in Christ's righteousness. There is a fault in yours. And Bunyan says, this is called the righteousness of God without the law. That's Christ's righteousness on your behalf. Okay. Last week we quoted Schofield in this chapter as saying, it's not then a question of dividing what God spoke from Mount Sinai and in the Ten Commandments. It's not separating the moral law from the ceremonial law. The believer doesn't come to that mountain at all. He doesn't come to the law at all. You don't separate the moral ceremonial. None of that law can you keep. None of that law can help you. None of that law can justify you. Only the cross of Christ can.
Amen.
Okay. And so it's interesting because Schofield rightly discourages something that Christians fight over today because they're failing to learn the lesson of the law. Schofield rightly, 100 years ago, discouraged the putting up of the Ten Commandments in churches. You say, where else would you put them? Schools? Yeah. He says that it was reserved to modernists, the liberal Christians, those who fail to understand the grace of God, to wrench these holy and just but deathful tables from underneath the mercy seat and the atoning blood and erect them in Christian churches as the rule of Christian life. Amen, Scoville. Why are churches taking the commandments and putting them up in their churches if that's the way you live? That is showing a failure to learn the law. Who's that guy? That's even that guy right there. That's not even this guy over here or that guy. That's sophomore. You know how we need to live? Keep those commandments. Really? What about Christ? What about you can't do it? What about you need God's mercy? We need God's grace preached. We need graduation. Many Christians can get here and they think that's what saves them. No. What saves you is graduation, is the cross of Christ. Not being under the law. It's the only way you can get righteousness today. There's no other way. Look at Galatians 2, verse 20. There's no other way to get the righteousness of God and not be under the law than to live according to Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. In fact, let's go back to verse 19. He says, I, through the law, am dead to the law. Here's the law. Paul says, here I was. I, through the law, I went through law school, and I ended up dead. So that what? So that I might live unto Christ. That's what he teaches. In Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I yet live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, not the law. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness comes by the Ten Commandments, the so-called moral law, then Christ is dead in vain. It's either Christ or the law, folks. How are you going to get righteous? The law can never give it to you. And if you don't learn that lesson, that's why you think it can. If you've learned the lesson of the law, you'll know you can't. And you'll need Christ. You'll cry out for his grace so that when you hear it, you'll go, that's it. I need it. Amen. And if you don't hear that gospel of grace of God, what Christ did for you, not by your works, and think, that's what I need, you're still needing to learn something here. Maybe you need to learn that you're a sinner. Maybe you need to learn that you need to do good. Maybe you need to learn that you fail to do what's good all the time. Maybe you need to learn that you just can't perform at all. You need God to help you. Okay? Just because you graduated law school, however, and trust the gospel of the grace of God, doesn't mean you're not prone to forget what you learn. You need to remember the lessons of the law. You're not under it, but you need to remember what you learned. You're not in college anymore. You're not in high school. You're not in elementary. You're not in kindergarten, but you need to remember to tie your shoes. How can I do that unless there's a teacher telling me to tie my shoes before I leave the class for gym? What a difficult question. Maybe we need another rule for adults that requires you tie your shoes. Or maybe you can just tie your shoes without the law, God forbid. But that's exactly what God's trying to teach us. To have a heart to know what's right, according to God. To know that you fail, and if you trip and fall because you didn't tie your shoes one day, you don't get up and go, ah, condemnation! You tie your shoes the next day, right? You can still live because in this situation, not your shoe tying situation, because of Christ's death on the cross, yes. Right? Life's not about you getting your shoes tied right every day, just like life's not about you keeping God's law, righteous law every day. You can't do it anyway. You need Christ. You need God. You need his mercy and his grace. Amen. If you forget those lessons, if you forget what you learned, then you'll put yourself under condemnation. But we're not under condemnation today. We're under God's grace. It's not that the law is bad. There's simply things that it cannot do. There's lots of things you learned under the law, hopefully. This lesson helped you with those things. But there's things that it can't do. What's, namely, the one thing it can't do. Justify you. Can't save you. Can't give you eternal life. It can't motivate you without the rule. The law says you have to do this. What if I want to do something else? Can't do it. You're stuck. There's no liberty there. So there's things the law can't do. That's what Romans 8, 3 and 4 says. The law could not do in you because of your sin. Christ did. Amen. And that's what we're trusting. That's how we're going to live now, is in Christ, by Christ, according to his grace. It's similar to the school that you attend in life. This is a big fallacy. The same failures people get receive from the failing to graduate the law and learning those lessons are the same failures they have in their own circumstantial life, in their career. School cannot get you a job. Right. What a myth. What are you going to school for? I want a job. Well, you don't get a job in school. You're in school to take classes. Like, you don't graduate school and say, well, here's your job. You know, you graduate school and then you have to look for a job. Well, isn't that what you started school wanting? A job? You say, well, Justin, are you against school? I'm not against school. School teaches you things, right? Hopefully those things can help you get a job that requires some of those skills. But school doesn't give you a job. The law school cannot save you. It can teach you things that are important to bring you into Christ, but it cannot do what Christ did. It's the same thing. It can teach you things. So you don't forget those lessons. Not being under law, people hear that and they say, well, you're just encouraging people to sin. Don't you know the sophomoric lesson that God's law is good? People need to do it. Of course I know. I've graduated the law. It's good. Sin is bad and good is good. But if you don't put people under the law, they're going to sin. You're going to encourage sin. Folks, this is like saying, now that you don't wear diapers, it's encouraging peeing your pants. It's like, I haven't worn a diaper in a long time, and I still don't pee my pants because I know better. I've graduated, right, to the pull-ups to nothing, you know. Well, not nothing. Anyway, I don't want to go there. I know better. This is what grace teaches you. It's not a removal of everything you've learned. It's now how you operate in the freedom where Christ has made you free and can operate with a changed heart to do what's right, to do what you know you should. Liberty under grace does not encourage sin any more than you not living with your parents encourages your dirty laundry. It's like, you know this, right? Your kid leaves for college or leaves the house, you know, and you try to visit them and you're like, ugh. But you let them live because they are learning the responsibility that hopefully you taught them.
Yeah.
Right? But you see the problem there? Christians who cry out for the law are asking to be back with mommy and daddy.
Yes.
God has taught you how to responsibly live according to his grace by learning the lessons of all of Scripture and what the law could not do and what Christ has done and what he's done is more superior than that, that can change your heart and save you so that you can live according to his glory.
Amen.
Because you couldn't do it under the law. You couldn't live at home with your parents. Hopefully you learned that lesson. Like you're living with your parents. It's not your life. It's not your house. It's their house. You know, they control the washing machine, you know. You get your own washing machine. Now you have choices to make. And what if they choose the wrong detergent? That's their choice, yes? But they ought to know to keep their clothes clean. And that's the same thing under grace. What if they don't have their hair at the right length? What if they don't have their clothes to the right color? What if they don't say the number of prayers that are rightfully said each day? Well, that's kind of a choice that you make. It needs to be in accordance with what you've learned and who you are in Christ now.
Amen.
Well, who's their judge? God, not you, right? But this is a part of living life under grace. An example Schofield gives, and it's not a bad example at all, is to teach the grace principle of living, where he says the law, there's statutes in the books, he says, that requires mothers to care for their children. You can't abuse your kids, you can't like beat them up, you know, that sort of thing. It requires it. It's a statute. But he says there are many mothers across the land who do not even know that law exists, who care for their kids and take care of them. And why do they do it if it's not the law beating them on their back to do it? Right? It's because they know in their hearts, out of love and grace to their children, that they need to do that. Right? And so he uses that to illustrate the grace principle of living, which requires a changed heart and grace and love. Well, what kind of constraint can change a heart to love? Perhaps the love of Christ can constrain you. Perhaps his grace that abounds over all of your sin, that he died for you while you were a sinner, maybe perhaps that can help change your heart and mind and constrain you. You say, what if it doesn't? Well, then nothing can, folks, because the law can't change your heart. The law can force someone to do something that someone doesn't want to do. That's what the law can do. So in God's eyes, what's better, doing something right with the wrong heart or having the wrong heart and failing every now and then? The latter would be the case, right? And so grace and love is of God is a different motivation than under the law. And you must graduate, folks. You must graduate the law. You must learn these lessons to know the gospel of the grace of God and then to live by God's grace. You have to know those lessons. Amen. If you don't, you failed law school and you have to go back and take the course again. Right? And so to ever walk by faith and not by sight, to ever live by God's grace, please learn the lesson of the law. Learn about your sin. Learn about what righteousness is. Learn about the need for sacrifice and see the help and the grace that God's given in the death of Christ and his resurrection. Provide for your salvation forever. That's what it means to graduate law school. Any comments or questions about